Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about this Wednesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 9. With me tonight is Asia. How you doing, Asia?
Hey, Taryn. And in case we didn't hear it enough tonight, Victoria is not the invisible HOH.
Definitely.
Just want to make that clear.
Why would you even say those words together? I'm shaking right now, Asia, that you would even mention her name in the same sentence.
It's how dare people utter those words together as if there aren't like three people in this house. You know, somebody's got to be it. But they, you know, the audacity of them to utter her name.
Also with us tonight is Jason. How you doing, Jason?
Taryn, I'm good. People are going to try and call me out for trying to decide whether or not to scroll TikTok or to do this podcast. But, you know, I weigh my options and I think I made the right choice.
Look, TikTok has some great content. I don't know if any of it is coming from Big Brother Canada, but I hope they're getting their advertising in. All right. Let's talk about this episode. I'll kick us off here. This was not my favorite episode. This was not, you know, you go to Big Brother Canada, you're like, oh, looking for just like a lovely little episode. Love to hang out with my friends from the feeds, and just, you know, watch them hang around and do stuff, make TikToks. But then, the episode comes on and, they really are just hanging out and making TikToks and talking about vetoes that don't matter. This is one of those episodes where I think the reality was not really represented in the episode. We talked about that on Monday as well. It happened again today, and it's a shame because I do think there's some compelling stuff from the feeds. There's some fun stuff that we could have been watching, and instead we got this whole back and forth about a veto that was never going to be used. Ro did not plan on using the veto before he even won it. He had never intended on using this thing, and we spent half the episode pretending like he was willing to. It's Asia. Why are they trying to milk content out of something that doesn't exist instead of showing us things that are actually happening that are fun and interesting?
They just want to build this story, and they were like, the only thing that makes sense is to, like, we know Ro won it, so let's try to shape this around the fact that he may or may not use it. Let's try to get Austin and Brayden content to try to pitch that to him to use it and for them to think he's going to use it. And so then there's drama when he doesn't use it. And, you know, that's all we're going to get tomorrow is them not being happy that he didn't use it, even though you have all this other stuff going on. It's like if the story doesn't line up with like who's on the block and who won the veto, they don't want anything to do with it. They're not thinking like us, where we're already into next week already because this week is a done deal. But they don't care. They're not trying to shape that. They want it to make sense, I guess, for the casual viewer. But come on,
yeah. Well, we started the episode with a large segment about the post nominations. It was a very slow scene where Austin and Brayden were just in the bedroom and multiple people would come in and they just kind of like, terrible. We're so sorry.
Beth ran in.
That's very true. Beth,
Beth threw herself on the bed.
Woo! And Ty went, woo!
It's like, where is, come on, okay, where, personal space, Beth? Like, these two people just got on the block. I don't care if you are their second best friend, which you are not. She just did not care. They're already on a twin, like, smaller than a twin size bed. And she's like, hey, I'm getting in between that. I don't care what y'all are talking about. Like, she didn't even take a beat to see, like, get a feel of the room to see what the vibe was. She just came in and knew that she was going to jump in between them. I was like, Beth, come on.
If I was anybody, I would think that Beth was the Invisible HOH just because of that. Like you're really trying to like ham it up for us.
Yeah. You're not invisible. It's this bed does not fit three people.
I saw you hurling yourself in my general direction. And I was very scared.
Twin beds are only meant for twins to be. Only twins could have this much, have this little space between them. And this is, you're now trying to be a triplet. We know you like triangles, but this is not it.
Right. That's true. She's so used to the triangle. She thought it was Ty and Jed in the bed. And then by the time she opened her eyes, when she landed, she's like, oh, shoot. This is Austin and Brayden. I had no idea.
Yeah, we hear so much from, and we heard it on the feeds, but they gladly were willing to show us on the episodes as well how much Austin and Brayden are upset about the fact that this HOH has double dipped. How could they put us on Slop and the Block, that double dipping? It's a Josh, only a monster would do this to us. Bad karma, guys.
It's as if they forgot that, like, Kiefer is also on the Block. I mean, not on the Block, on Slop. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like such a non-factor. They just want to focus on they're on the Block, they're on Slop. It couldn't be any worse. I'm like, come on, you don't even have to sleep in a terrible bed. You don't have to sleep on the floor. It's just Slop. Yeah.
And this is the easiest have not, like, the show has ever had. Because they get to sleep in their normal place. All they have to do is eat some Slop. And look, I get it. That's annoying. But every house guest in the history of the show has had to do it, except for a few people that got eliminated early, right? In fact, in some ways, you should be glad that you've lasted long enough to have had Slop a couple of times. Yeah, no cold shot. Like, they're fine. They're fine. No problems here. But I guess they feel like there's been some double dipping. Double dipping is like when you dip something in something and then you take a bite and then you dip again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Put your saliva on that dip.
So do they feel like Vic has now contaminated the house with her saliva? Is that what's going on?
They're like, you already touched me by putting me on Slop. You already laid your hands on me. You can't come back. You can't touch me again at all. But
that's why I also said, don't touch me.
Right. Yeah. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
No. I've been double dipped. You die.
I don't want to be triple dipped.
Get your spit hands off of me.
Right.
Ty is gonna join them and they feel like Ty is acting like he's acting guilty, he's acting real guilty, he's acting like he knows he's done something wrong. Poor Ty, who is literally just sitting there like, hey guys, this sucks. Sorry. Like, same as everyone else.
I really felt for Ty, because Ty is like me. When I know that there's an accusation going around, I know I didn't do it. I can't help but smile and like laugh. It's just like an auto response. Like, I can't help it. And I look guilty all the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's not like they're not thinking like, okay, I'm in Ty's shoes. Okay, if they really think it's Ty, okay, let me put myself in his shoes. If he were the Invisible HOH, wouldn't he be acting like more defensive when I say, oh, I think, you know, people are saying it's you. When people tell him, he's just like, oh yeah, I've been hearing that too. Yeah. Obviously to us, he appears innocent, but I'm like, a guilty person would be trying to defend themselves and explain why. Have a motive for why they didn't win it, but they just want to believe it's him because he's in such a great mood, like he is all the time.
Yeah. Scott in the chat says he's got the Kevin Martin problem where people just think he's shady and don't believe him because he's just this like chill dude who's like not super emotional about everything. He's just kind of like he's just hanging out. He just doesn't wear his emotions on his sleeve. He's not super easy to read, and thus can't trust him.
And he's like, oh, my life is fine, you know.
Yeah.
How are you guys? Not
yeah.
I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah. It's still, it's, it, Ty in the diary room is one of my favorite things because he is so fake animated in the diary room. He has that like very forced smile on where he's like, I'm in the Speedo. It's an interesting one.
I just picture like a producer like across the room going like, up, I need more.
Yeah, you know, every DR of his is like the third or fourth take because there's no way he gave them anywhere close to enough the first time. So,
yeah. Well, we get a little bit of this. We don't get nearly as much as we should, considering how kind of funny the situation ends up becoming. But the Sunsetters, the four of them who eventually celebrate in the Expedia room that we're not on the block. Can you believe someone made this terrible mistake? Like, this is what I felt like they should be leaning into more because they discuss it's Vic. It's obviously Vic. And so they talk about how it's definitely Vic. And then Kiefer goes straight from that to Vic and he's like, deny. Don't tell a single soul. Nobody knows for sure. It's like they know for sure, Keith. That's Kiefer, what they were just saying.
Kiefer literally was saying, oh no, it's Vic. Like, yeah. He's literally like validating it.
This is terrible advice.
This is only making her look worse.
Yeah. This is no. You just keep lying. Could you imagine if somebody came to you for advice? They're like, look, I'm in this really, really weird spot. And I've lied about something and I'm just not sure what to do about it. And the other person is like, in their minds, they're like, well, this person actually already knows that they're lying. And they're like, okay, here's my advice. Just keep lying. Just keep denying it. Just never admit.
I didn't know for sure you're lying. I told them you were lying, but just keep denying.
Yeah, it's not great advice. Not great advice. But it's what she's going to do. I think it's what she would have done anyway, to be quite honest. So this is when Austin and Brayden are like, Vic, everyone's saying it's you.
Oh my God. I swore everything. Everything. It was happening.
Why? Why would that even happen? I just don't even understand. Guys, I'm shaking right now. It was obviously, it couldn't have been me. Can you see it right now on my face? And it's
that's so, I mean, in that situation, you want a reaction between like Ty and what Vic did. Like, you want to just kind of bring it in the middle and be like, I don't know why people are saying that. Why would I do that when you guys are my top two, blah, blah, blah. And you don't want to get to all the hysterics about like, I don't want to hear you breathing in your response to me.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear your breaths.
There's no reason for her to be nervous, right?
Exactly. That's what I got from the earlier, like right after the noms, when she came in the room and she was all like flabbergasted. Like, she was, so why do you think they put you up? Is it because you are a duo, or do you think they're trying to come after you? And like, waited for an answer, and you could see Brayden's looking at her like, it's like that meme of the lady like looking up like, what are you doing? Why are you asking? We don't know. We just got put on the block. We heard the same explanation you just heard. So why are you asking us? It's just like over the top. But in Victoria's head, she deserves an Oscar.
Yes. I mean, in her head, she's working with every single person in the house, as she says later on. When in reality, her only ally is Kiefer. But yeah, it's just like, this is the surefire way of seeing that. So, like, most people in this position, if their allies, supposed allies, say, hey, like, if Beth and Jed went to Ty, or even if they went to Kiefer, let's say Kiefer was a suspect, and they were, hey, people are saying it's you. The response would have been, idiots. They really think we're not that close? Wow, we're doing a great job. They wouldn't be, people are saying it's me? What? What do you mean? No, it's like, come on, guys, you know it's not me. Because there's no reason to be nervous. Now, if Vic and Brayden had been like, Vic, we know it's you. Please. We really think it's you. Please just admit it. Then an innocent person might be like, what the hell? No, it's not me. Like, then they might get a little animated. But again, it's the nervousness. Only somebody who is guilty would feel that much nervousness in a situation that doesn't call for it. Right.
Exactly. Like, think about it. If I were in the house, I would think, okay, I don't know this person that well, so let me see how they lie. So let me just say they took something that I know for a fact they didn't. I would just go up to Victoria and be like, hey, Ty said you took his shirt out of his like suitcase. Did you take it? And then you would see her reaction. Yeah. Not why would he think I took it? Like, oh, no.
He couldn't possibly think that I took his shirt.
There's no way. So they need to learn each other.
Oscar worthy performance, of course. Then we're going to get some more Oscar worthy performances as they film TikToks of themselves. and I couldn't believe this because They pull them into the diary room and they're like, hey, we've got questions asked of you from fans. I was like, oh, this might actually be interesting. Like, like they've done this before on Big Brother. Answering questions from fans might be a little fillery, but hey, we might get some like interesting answers or some funny answers. Maybe they even ask like a strategic question. That could be fun. They somehow took that and made it so much worse than it could have possibly been. Like, like the format of them in the diary room reading and answering a question would have been so much more entertaining. Them being like, hey guys, here's my answer to your question. Like, trying to be entertaining is so much more boring. It wasn't even fun in like a cringy way. It was just boring.
When they asked Beth who was a better kisser, I immediately thought to myself, why don't you ask Brayden? He's kissed both of them.
No, that was so actually true. That was actually by far the best part, just because of how Jed and Ty reacted. But really, there's nothing here. We didn't even hear half of the answers to the questions, and it was just people putting on a TikTok persona, which is we know these people, so it's just very fake and boring.
I'm someone who frequents TikTok. Like, I know my limits. Like, I know if I get on TikTok, there's going to be a solid 30 minutes that just disappears from my timeline because I get so sucked in. Because my For You page is just, it's on and popping. But if I were to come across one of their TikToks, automatic go to next. Like, there was nothing appealing. Like, even if I see, oh, that's Ty from Big Brother Canada. No. And I love Ty. It's just like the presentation was off. I don't care if it's 15 seconds. I don't have 15 seconds to waste. I'm on to the next one because I could spend a minute on that one if it's prime content. But it's like, what? Like, they could be doing so much with TikTok. Like, the possibilities are endless. And like you said, Taryn, they could have given us some good questions. Don't show the house guests. We don't need that. Like, okay, it was worth it seeing Jed and Ty's reactions, but give us some juicy, like, who would you go to final two with and why? You know, even them just answering that, sitting in the diary room. Okay, I know I'm about to get an honest answer, so I'm going to listen. I'm going to watch because I'm interested.
Guarantee you, if they did live DR style TikTok questionnaires with the house guests in the format of like a Big Brother Over the Top, where they have them answer regular questions of like, who are your closest allies? What's your game plan? Who's your final two? Even if they're just the most dry strategic questions, but you don't have to be limited to that. You can also ask things like, who's a better kisser?
Right.
If you had them answer questions like that in the live diary room format, all of the audience would pay attention. All of the audience, you know, at the very least, like, you know, I would be reporting on the TikToks, right? Like, people right. would be watching the TikToks. People would be reporting on the TikToks. It would be constant news of people paying attention to the TikToks. You could have that. You could release that regularly. It's very easy to do. They're already in the diary room. They're already answering questions, talking. Free idea, guys. Very simple.
That's not wacky or zany or, you know, any of the stuff. We can't put on fun costumes. We can't impersonate. We can't do any of the fun stuff that the kids love nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
on the TikTok.
Yeah, they know, they're well aware, Taryn, that you do these updates every single day. That is the perfect spot to have a quick 5-minute TikTok update. Literally.
Genuinely, I would have a TikTok portion of the update where I'm like, oh, and here's the thing. Beth on TikTok said X. And the integration is endless. We would be talking about TikToks all season long and not just when we're making fun of the dumb segment on the episode. Guys, charge them for this. Get into that TikTok money.
Maybe they tried to ask Victoria some serious questions about her being HOH. And she said, me? HOH? I'm not HOH. Why would you say that? Victoria, we're in the diary room. There's no one else around. You can answer your question for real. Like, no, not me.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that was the TikToks. We then got the veto draw. We got Vic, who chose herself, not chose herself, but drew her own name out of the bag in the diary room in secret. She draws her own. She That's my Vic impression. It covers like 90% of her expressions.
Literally, that was her expression when Brayden said she was the most fun person in the house during the TikTok. I bet she regretted putting him up because she's like, oh my gosh, now I love Brayden.
Vic, everyone's saying you're the HOH. Oh man. I did end up glossing over the Jed and Ty reaction to the Beth question, which is that when she says that Jed is the better kisser, he flips his entire like mic situation off and starts running around. Because here's the facts here. They've actually had this conversation before on the feeds, and this was a long time ago when she was more into Ty, and she said that Ty was the better kisser at that point. And Jed was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That the kiss that we have done does not count. There was only the hot tub kiss at that point. And it was like, no, that was a very fast kiss. I was like leaning in. We butted teeth. It was not a good. That is not representative of me as a kisser. This is a false start. You're going to have to reevaluate later. So this was meaningful to him that Ben said that Jed was the better kisser.
He had to get his official submission in before she made a decision.
Yes.
His ego is on the line.
And then, of course, she says, but I'd go back to Ty. And he did, which was such a tell, right? Like, she moved on to Jed when Ty wasn't as interested. And they even talk about it a little bit later in the storage room when he's like, why'd you choose me? And she was like, well, you pay more attention to me.
Right.
Oh boy.
It's not what you want to hear. And so he kind of flipped it and said, like, yeah, I was like, all that work paid off. Like, I put in the effort.
Put in the work. In the work. That's what he's telling himself, I think. So, all right, well, I put in the work.
I talked to you more than Ty did.
Yeah. She's like, anyway, we're on the same page from a game perspective.
Yeah. So, okay. I paid more attention and it was for game reasons. Is that what you're telling me? All right. So Vic, Ty, and Ro are picked to play in the veto, and we get a segment with Ro where he says, he'd love to use the veto. Which, sure, he would have loved to use the veto, but didn't plan to, is the end of that sentence. Right. Never planned to, told multiple people, yeah, I've got to tell Austin and Brayden that I'm willing to, but definitely not going to use that thing. But he did want to win it to prevent himself from going up in the block. And so we get the conversation between him and Austin. And I mean, you can tell in this conversation that he has no intention of using it. You can tell that he's very clearly lying because they're like, bro, you would use it on us, right? And he's like, Like, really, though, you'd really, you can tell us if you wouldn't. No, yeah, definitely. Definitely would do it.
But here's the problem. Like, Austin, like, she did this a couple of times during the episode. Like, as soon as somebody walked in the room, she was like, hey, would you use the veto on us if you want it? It's like, oh, sure. Yeah. Like, he doesn't surprise him with the question. So he has his first instinct is to say yes. And it's not even a real conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's he going to say? No.
Yeah.
Like, that's awkward.
Yeah, why would he say no to that question when he hasn't even won it yet?
Exactly.
And have to explain to her, like, yeah, actually, because if he doesn't win it, then he never has to explain it to her. And then if he does go up on the block for having not won the veto because she won the veto, now she knows that he wouldn't have used the veto, and she has no incentive to do anything to try and help him or keep him off the block or anything like that. I'm not defending the decision. Roe did more than that. He did try to convince her that he would use it a little bit more than he did in the segment that we saw, but he never planned on using it. We get to the veto competition, and I actually really like this competition, and this is where I will say, the editing aside, which I am still very much not fond of, I have been very impressed with the competitions this season, and this is just another example of a well done competition for me, where it felt very balanced. It felt, no pun intended, where it was a puzzle with a small physical element. They had to carry these things, but I don't think they were that heavy, and it wasn't really that physical. Maybe they had to run back and forth a few times to bring the puzzle pieces. So yeah, being physical gave you a small leg up, but that was a small physical puzzle followed by a purely mental puzzle, no physicality to it whatsoever. So yes, being physically fit is going to give you like a tiny edge, but it's mostly just about the puzzle. And I love that about this competition. I love that about all of the competitions so far, that, you know, not only have they been not as physical, which was a huge problem in Big Brother 22, huge problem in Big Brother Canada 7, in Big Brother Canada 5, and even Big Brother Canada 8, Sheldon was winning like every competition. they've changed that, and that's great, but also there haven't been that many like studying quiz competitions either, and I like those to some degree. I like when there's a studying quiz competition in there here and there, but when you give too many, it's just okay, whoever studied is winning this thing, and sure, it's the person's fault who didn't study, but it's still not leading to a very interesting result if the same person wins every time. So it's the competitions have been great, very great spread of winners. And I really like this competition, Asia.
Yeah, but I have my guard up because I know they love those quiz study type. I know they love the super physical one. So it's like, are they just saving them for later in the season? Or is this season really changing how they do comps? Because yes, I love this competition. I love the puzzle. I love that Brayden couldn't figure out that there were holes on the bottom of the beams. So he couldn't even get past the first one. And I love that it was just an even playing field. So like, you know, Austin easily could have won this one. It wasn't just like because Ty is big, he's going to win it. It's a shoe-in. I like that arriving to the comp, it's not just a shoe-in who's going to win. You know, even though we always know who the winner is already because of feeds, I still enjoy watching the comp because they've been entertaining.
Well, it makes sense. You know, when you have what BB Can has done with the diversifying of ages, races, mm-hmm. sizes to kind of even the playing field. And that's a great idea. Whereas if you had diversified the cast and left everything super yeah, physical, mm-hmm. you would have like a steamroll of the season from like Ted time.
Ted right. is a perfectly acceptable way of describing the both of them, actually.
Yeah, sure.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah. Ted. Yeah. Definitely. I'm with you, Asia. I'm definitely apprehensive of the end game comps. But I do want to say, I think that part of the sort of the reason why we've had a somewhat dynamic house this season has stemmed from these competitions, and the fact that anybody can win this next HOH. Genuinely anybody. I'm not looking at it's like, well, Cody's got about 60% of the equity.
Right.
Memphis has about 30. And so it's nice. It's nice to have. I hope we continue. At the very least, I love that we have this segment of a season that is a great example that, like, everything that we've been saying is true. That this can work out well. Diverse cast, smaller cast, more even competitions. Like, it's all great stuff.
Take note, BBUS.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Please look up north and see what they're doing. Don't just do the same stuff.
Yeah.
Please.
So they compete here. Roe is going to end up winning this thing pretty decisively. I mean, didn't look like anyone was even close. Maybe Austin, if she had did have a good setup down there on the floor. But Roe was the only one who had any kind of structure up. Everyone else had pieces laying all over the place.
Roe show won the veto, but he say no, no.
Yeah. To send the Roe show out the dojo.
He is making sure that doesn't happen. I will say, like, I would love to see a Roe HOH next week, but I'm happy with anybody except for Victoria and Kiefer. Mm-hmm. They have been thriving in these new types of comps. So I'm a little concerned in the fact that, you know, Victoria can play again. But one thing that did confuse me during this veto was that, like, Victoria clearly did not want to win. But she finished, like, she was across the beam with all her puzzle pieces and people were still working on the base. So I'm like, was she just trying to, like, okay, I'm gonna do this part fast and then I'm gonna struggle with the puzzle? Or was she truly throwing it? Or, and she could have, like, blown them out of the water.
I think, because when she was talking to the cameras about, like, you're gonna win it, not me, I can't win this one, then she was like, or should I? Right. You know, like, I think that she probably tried to win. Right. I think she's gonna try to win pretty much everything. We'll see where that takes her. It's definitely not gone unnoticed by the other house guests that she did well in this competition. As we've talked about, the episodes haven't really shown it, but everybody except for Austin, Braden, and Roe know that Vic is the HOH at this point in the game. And so they all know that she won that competition. So they're all looking at her like, right. She's winning a lot of things. She's doing well. All right.
So does Roe score points with anyone in the house by not using this veto? I mean, you would have to think he wouldn't use it because he would piss off every other house guest besides Austin and Brady.
Yes, absolutely. He does score points with everyone by not using this veto. He then immediately throws those points away, but that's that's another story.
In true Roe fashion.
Yeah. In the meantime, Roe has won the veto, and
I want to give a shout out to my parents for creating this absolute champion.
Just a champion.
I loved that Braden called him Veto Poppy.
Veto Poppy.
Okay, we've had Poutine Poppy, now we got Veto Poppy. Love it.
So here's where, again, the episode pretended like Roe was not just gonna not use the veto. They pretended like he was contemplating using the veto. And so in order to make it seem like this is a struggle and that there might be a chance, They've got Vic as kind of their mastermind stand-in, where she is going to step in and make sure that Roe does not use the veto, even though he really wants to. And so she is going to have a conversation with Austin and Braden, who are like, oh, he's going to use it and we can get Tara up. And then she's going to run it to Tara and Tina and be like, hey, they're trying to get you up, Tara. And Tara says, they haven't seen my fire yet. They haven't?
I'm so scared.
What do you call what's been happening? That's not your fire? Where's the fire?
That's like when you get a match going and it, like, lights a little bit but then goes out. That's what we've been seeing so far from Tara.
I guess so. Tara just goes on a tear.
Well,
Tara goes on a tear.
Well, Tara goes on the tear, but I think Tina was the one that actually used that information and tried to do something with it while Tara, you know, went out like that, you know, barely lit match.
Yeah, well, they can't see her fire. So they make it seem like Vic and Tina go to Ro and they're like, hey, don't use it. Don't use it. And Ro's like, oh, now what do I do? Again, he had never intended on using it. He's then going to go to Austin and Brayden and be like, hey, look, you gotta go to Beth and be like, hey, if one of us comes down, you can definitely, you know, vote to keep one of us, right? And they're like, is there a scenario where you don't use it? And he's like, and so they immediately go into it. And this is when Austin's going to do some fake crying. I already went off on a rant about this, in the watch party that I did, but let me know if you guys feel differently, but the fake crying thing is very annoying to me in the episodes, because it's like, if somebody cried to you in any scenario, even in the Big Brother house, somebody cries to you, would you ever go, come on, you're fake crying right now, don't do that?
Of course not.
Or would you be like, oh, I'm sorry, and you would comfort them? But of course, when you do that, they then get to go to the run to the diary room and be like, what an idiot. They bought my tears hook, line, and sinker. Oh, my plan is working. It's like, what do you mean?
The fake crying really only, you know, prohibits you from having a real conversation.
Yeah.
If someone's crying to me, I'm just going to tell you whatever you want to hear to make you stop crying so that I can leave the situation. That's basically what Jed and Beth did. They're like, oh yeah, for sure. And then they hightailed out of the bathroom to get away from the crying person.
It doesn't accomplish anything. Big Brother Canada loves these moments in particular. They've had them, and Anil did it, Cass did it. Like, they love these things. But like, the common element in all of those, like those people who did it, is that they all still were sent home that week. It doesn't do anything. It just gives them a little segment to be like, ooh, look at the gameplay going on. It's like, it's not anything.
Yeah, it serves no purpose, and it just gave Austin this little win that she needed, I guess, because nothing else is going right for her this week. But it's like, no, even in a situation where someone felt bad for her, it would be just that. I mean, and Jed even had a good point. It's like, you need to be talking to Ro about that. Like, there's nothing we can do in this situation. And she's trying to like convince, or she's trying to get them to promise, like, okay, if one of us comes down, like, you're going to save the other one, right? Like, we both will stay. It's like, you're doing too much. Commit to the fake crying if that's what you're going to do. Stick with that. Leave it at that. Don't try to add all this other stuff. It's just too much for them emotionally, and all they wanted to do was leave the bathroom.
So this is where the whole rest of the episode is just this back and forth about the veto, but there's no actual content here. It's just like Austin and Ro talk about the veto again. So are you gonna use it? Well, I don't know. Right. This is a tough spot to be in. Oh man, I hope you use it. Yeah, me too. And then Vic's gonna go talk to Tara, Tina, and Kiefer. You think Ro's gonna use the veto? I don't think so. I guess maybe. Man, I hope he doesn't use it. Yeah, me too. I also hope he doesn't use it. Yeah, that would be a bad thing if he used it. Really hope he doesn't use that veto. Rose in the diary room.
Nah,
man,
I doubt it.
Should I use the veto? I don't know. People probably don't want me to, but I kind of want to, but I don't think I'm going to. It's like, that's like the last 20 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, I was so annoyed that we kept getting commercials. I was like, why are we not to the veto ceremony yet? Like, why is there yet another commercial? We have 5 minutes left in this episode. But it was just like, you would have known that Roe was seriously considering using this veto if he had been in the diary room saying, like, okay, if I use this veto to take Austin down, then I have her with me. We have Brayden out of the picture. Then we can team up with Tina and Tara, and or him saying, okay, if I don't use this veto, I'm ensuring that Tina and Tara don't go on the block because they are, I truly want to move forward with them and I don't want to ruffle any, like, you would have had that because that's how he's been talking. Like, he is focused on the strategy of it all. And you would have seen that from him. And the fact that we didn't get that, I mean, I was like, that means he didn't say it.
Yeah, they were careful with the editing. He said things like, this is tough. This is a tough thing to do. He said things like, I would love to use it. He never said, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm unsure what I should do. Never even that. They really had to cut around to make it seem like he was contemplating it. But it really is. So this 20 minutes of episode was focused around, will he or won't he use this veto? And then, of course, veto ceremony happens. He doesn't use the veto. No. But here's all of the stuff, and this isn't spoilers, it's just what's happening. I don't know if it'll ever be on the show, but things that they could have been showing are Jed, Ty, and Beth continuing to talk about how they are 100% sure that Vic is the secret HOH, and that she is doing their work for them, and that's great for them, bad for her, and that she's dangerous in the game, but that what they need to do is pretend like they don't know to her and pump up her ego to make her think that she's running the show. That would, showing a conversation where they're doing that would be great content, because they literally say things like, oh man, this HOH must be the smartest person in the world, and Vic is like, cut from like Vic being like, I've got them so snowed, to them being like, we got this, would be great, would be hilarious. We've also got Tina and Tara, who also now know that Vic is the HOH. They've sussed it out as well. And they don't trust Vic anymore. Their connection to Vic has been soured because they see Vic as somebody who is just doing the boys' dirty work. And so that relationship is going south. That's interesting strategic content to know from Vic's decisions as an invisible HOH. What has this power done to her game? Bad things. But instead, we're getting this will they, won't they about the veto, and making it seem like Vic is the one that convinced Roe to not use the thing he was never going to use, and we're getting nothing from the house, and there's so much good content to mine here. Not to mention all of the stuff that we talked about on Monday, about her putting herself on the block, and on all of the stuff that happened there. I just feel like there's so much good and interesting stuff that we could be seeing, and instead we just got conversation after conversation about the veto.
Right, exactly. And what's going to happen, which they're putting themselves in this situation, is next week, let's say, you know, we don't want this to happen, but let's say Victoria gets HOH, then we're there, she's gonna want to talk about the ghost peppers, she's gonna want to talk about this alliance she made with Ty and Jed and Beth, and she's gonna want to talk about how, like, she's being loyal to that. So they're gonna have to go back and play that from last week, spend time in the episode playing stuff from this week next week, and then we're gonna miss out on anything that actually happens present day next week, and it's just gonna be like, we're going to be living in the past because, or missing entire pieces of what's happening in the house.
Right. And like next week, when Vic is telling us in the episode, I'm working with every single person in the house, and they're making it seem like she's completely gotten away with this and nobody believes that it was her. Next week, when, you know, everyone's throwing her under the bus, they're going to have to come up with fake reasons as to why, because they never explained what happened this week. And then those fake reasons will mask other things. And this is how this happens. This is how Big Brother Canada 6 happens.
Well, next week when someone else wins the veto and Vic explains that I kept you safe last week, you won't believe this. Right? But I was the HOH. At that point, they're going to have to turn to the actors and go, oh, no, you were the HOH. Right. Oh my gosh, you are such a great actress and the best Big Brother player ever
of all time.
Of all time.
And no matter who stays of Austin and Brayden, she's gonna go, let's say whoever stays gets HOH, she's gonna go to them and say that, hey, I was HOH, I was the secret invisible HOH, and they're gonna be like, Vic wants me to believe she was the invisible HOH. I know it was Ty.
Oh boy. Well, that's basically what we had from the episode. Anything else that you guys wanted to talk about from the episode?
Just that Austin gives me major Kardashian vibes. Just how she's so pissed, but she gives us no expression with it. She's like, I'm so livid that I'm on the block. And it's just like, Austin is hilarious because
such bad karma,
right? She gives us such minimal expression. The most expression I've seen from her was in that TikTok.
The double dipping.
But she can fake cry though. You see that? She was like, "Did you see that fake cry?" Right. She's welling up with tears in her eyes.
Right. Who, when you're crying, yeah, Taryn and Jason, when you're crying, are you wiping your tears with just your index fingers? Are those getting those tears?
Yeah, that's exactly. This is me. I'm actually crying right now.
Clogging up my tear ducts right there. Right.
Yeah. You want to get those? You don't want to mess up the bags under your eyes. You just want to dab, 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 and then you're good to go.
I get a full arm. I'm like.
All right. Well, that's what we have from the episode. So we will get into some spoilers and talk through what's been happening on the feeds. There's actually been some interesting stuff over the last couple of days. So you should stay tuned and we'll talk about it and we'll have some fun. So here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Oh man, what a dance I just did. Whew. the invisible dance.
Yes.
Just pretend that you didn't listen to Monday's recap where I didn't talk about that idea. All right. We are here to talk spoilers. We're going to talk about what's been happening here. Obviously, Ro did not use the veto. Austin is in deep trouble here as we head toward eviction night. However, just this morning, she did do a little bit of campaigning. I was very happy to see. This is the Austin that I've wanted to see all season long. She's finally here. She's finally talking. She's making points. And the points are kind of landing because Beth was kind of in a primed state to hear them. Because the night before, Jed had asked her, kind of joking around with Beth. Jed was like, hey, Beth, do you think you'd, like, what would you have done in this game if Ty and I hadn't been here? And it's really implied to Beth, like, what is that supposed to mean? Is that, like, are you saying that, like, my entire game is based around you guys? And he said it in front of other people. That comment got in her head. And so when Austin is pitching to her in the morning, she's kind of listening. She's kind of listening like, oh, Austin will take the shot at the guys. She goes and she talks to the cameras on her own. And she says, I have to stop playing for these boys and start playing for myself. Oh,
what?
Oh,
I would love to see a Beth scorn.
And so Jed comes by and she talks to Jed about the possibility of flipping the vote and keeping Austin. And interestingly enough, she tells Jed that, Austin said she'd go after Vic and, you know, Ro. he's like, really? Well, I feel like she'd come after us. No. I mean, I feel like if we keep her, she's a target. She'd take shots that we don't want to take, like going after Vic. And Vic's target has grown heavily over the week. And so a lot of people like Ty, Jed, they really do want Vic gone. They just don't want to do it themselves. And so the idea that Austin could step in and do it for them is a very appealing idea. And so she's pretty, she's lying to Jed in this conversation, tricking him into being open to keeping Austin. And she brings up the comment to him as well. And this is where I knew this is the comment that got in her head, because she's like, you know, when you said that the other night, like, do other people believe that like my game is, you know, just basically, you guys' game. And he's like, I was just joking. And he's not do a great job of settling this.
Not at all. And the fact that this is her first time kind of coming to that realization, that's how the jury would perceive her game. It shows you how sucked into this throuple she's been, because this shouldn't have been your first realization. This shouldn't be the first time you've heard this and realized, oh, people might see that if it weren't for the boys, I wouldn't be in it still here, you know, like that they're saving my game, or that I'm in between them. And so, you know, Jed definitely could have done a better job, you know, trying to convince her that wasn't the case. But still, it's like, is Austin, you know, too late to the party? It's Wednesday. It's like showing up, your friends have been planning a trip to, you know, let's say Texas. Your friends have been planning a trip to Texas, and then you show up like when flights are booked and bags are packed. You're like, no, 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 we should go to Hawaii. And they're like, oh, but we've already planned to go to Texas. Like, everything's in place already. Like, we're good. And even though it's a better idea, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. Hawaii sounds great, but right. And Jacob Jones has us convinced we need to go to Texas. So. Right. All right. So this idea of a flip was possible, but it has since basically been shut down. The only way it could happen, really, and the way it was pitched, is that it would be Tina, Tara, Ro, and Beth as the four votes out of seven to keep Austin, and then Beth would blame her vote on Kiefer, which, first of all, I don't think would work, because Kiefer has been very anti-Austin always, and Beth has been very open about the fact that she's been wavering about maybe keeping Austin, and she'd have to lie to the guys about it all game long, and Kiefer would be adamantly saying the opposite. Like, this is not a good position to be in. To be in a 50-50 scenario with Kiefer when it comes to the guys, they would not trust her anymore. It's a bad idea. So the only other way is to convince the guys, which she was kind of doing. And then I guess if Austin nominates them, be like, oh, whoops, I got tricked too. But the problem there is that Austin's been also campaigning to Vic and other people about how she's going after the guys. And Vic is not going to be as careful about the information. And so the guys are not on board to keep Austin. Ty in particular, not on board to keep Austin. He feels like he wants to be with Brayden. And that's because of another big thing that has not yet reached the episodes. And that's, I don't think there's a name for them yet.
Brayshawn.
There you go.
I would say that I just thought of that. I haven't seen that on Twitter. I thought of it, but you know, we could table it. But I'm throwing out Brayshawn.
Brayshawn's not bad.
I was going to go with Titan. Titan's
pretty good. But yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess the audience is going to have to. The audience has been very bad about ship names this season. I'm just going to point that out, because I keep asking for them, and the best we have is the thruple, the triangle. People say TNT, but that's only because they say TNT in the house. And, you know, there was no official Costin name. There was no... The Showtime is what we had for Ro and Kyle. So, you know, get on top of this, guys, because I rely on you guys for the nicknames.
Right. That's so true. Yeah, why were we calling Kyle and Ro Showtime? That's not something we would have done.
Brayden and Ty have neck kissed. I don't know what the proper terminology is for having your neck kissed and or kissing a neck.
We're gone 24% of the way.
20, yes. Okay, there it is. I'm so glad we have percentages. They've gone about 24%.
But here's my confusion. When Austin said, like, okay, was it a kiss? And he says more. Is neck kissing more than a normal kiss?
And is it more if you're like behind them, like doing that? Like, I don't.
I think it's both. I think that neck kissing could be more, but it could also be less. You know, because if you haven't actually done an actual kiss yet, then the neck kiss is a little more playful than it is like neck kissing, you know. But if you have already been real kissing and you go down to the neck, now that's...
Now it's more.
Now you're getting higher in the percentages, right?
Yeah.
So...
The back neck kissing is more of a kind of a, you know, entree into things. Not
exactly,
really a
yeah.
process.
Yeah, because it's weird, too, because to think about the logistics, you would think that Ty would be Big Spoon. If they were doing Big Spoon, Little Spoon, you would automatically assume Ty was the Big Spoon. But in order for neck kissing to happen, if Brayden was the one to give the neck kiss, mm-hmm. then he would have been Big Spoon.
Yeah. Ty and Jed, they like being Little Spoon. I believe Jed has requested Little Spoon position with Beth because sometimes doesn't like smelling her hair. It's not always the nicest. Jed, real charmer. That's,
they're a match made in heaven. They really are. They know how to make the other feel better for sure.
So Ty and Brayden have been developing a relationship. Ty feels like he can bring Brayden in. And so kind of the idea for Ty, Jed, and Beth right now is get rid of the bigger threats, keep the smaller ones. And, so that means bring Tina and Brayden toward the end of the game, take out people like Vic and Kiefer, after Ro, of course, and Tara. So that's kind of the game plan. That's what they are sticking to. And Austin is in fact, going to be, evicted here tomorrow night, if nothing else changes, which it doesn't seem like it will. But that does mean that heading into the next HOH, we have a lot of people targeting Ro, and that's because he really stuck his foot in his mouth with Beth and exposed the fact that he is going after the guys. And this was before she had her eureka moment of, I need to maybe not work for the guys. And so she told them about it. And so now they're all going after Ro. And so half the house is going after Ro. Half the house is going after Ty and Jed. There's been a little bit of movement between Ty and Jed as to who's kind of in the lead in terms of not being targeted. And that is that a few days ago, Ty and Jed talked about how Ty was like, I hate this duo thing. We got to get this duo label off of us. And so he's been working hard on Kiefer to be like, yeah, I'm not a duo with Jed at all. You know, he would choose Beth. Right. And that's music to Kiefer's ears, who is like, yeah, Beth gets in the way of our friendship. And so he has developed this relationship with Kiefer, who just a few days ago was saying, Jed's my boy, would never turn on Jed. Day two, just today was like, you know what? I kind of feel like I'm with Ty more now. And that's huge. That's huge for Ty, because every vote's going to matter, I think, if they end up on the block together. And every vote's going to matter if they end up in the final two together as well. So, you know, both scenarios are possible. And so I'm happy to see Ty making some progress here, because he's kind of got Brayden maybe now, kind of got Kiefer maybe now. Hopefully he can keep working on those relationships. I think he's still very loyal to Beth and Jed. But having those other options will be great for him if and when the shot gets taken here, Jason.
Yeah, Ty also has to pay more attention to Beth so she can get back in the lead for her affections. You know, we know paying attention to her is going down. I know he's busy with Brayden, but he's also got to stay busy with Beth too. Right.
I don't know. I don't know if he's interested in paying that much attention.
Yeah, well, he seems over it.
You don't have to be actually interested. Like, just pay some attention. I mean,
make it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's too, like, to see like Jed and Ty's reaction to not going on the block this week. They're like, how the heck did we escape this? I think they know it's inevitable that they will end up on the block together. Like, no one's putting them up with Beth initially, or you would hope not, because that would be so dumb. But I think that because Ty is well aware of that, like, it's going to happen in the next few weeks, he is hedging his bets. He's getting in close with people. He's having good conversations with Tina and Tara, and, you know, having conversations with Tara, which he doesn't want to be doing in the first place. But he is doing it anyway, because he understands that his game could be on the line and he could need her vote at some point. So I'm really happy to see this from Ty, because I really like Ty. He is a great guy. He is, I would love to see him win the whole thing. So, you know, fingers crossed, like this pays off and he is consistent and sticks with it, because I think it's going to happen. If it doesn't, that would be crazy.
So at the moment, who does Jed have besides Beth?
Well, so Jed does still, he's certainly fighting for the attention of Vic. I think that Vic probably leans Jed of the two of them, but I think she could go either way. The reason being, she's told Jed more information than she's told Ty. And Jed is the person who came to her about the ghost peppers. Jed seems to be a little bit more of the connection that she has to the guys. However, it does seem like now that Kiefer is kind of with Ty, Brayden is a little more with Ty. Both of those people just a few days ago were more Jed people. And if they're both more Ty people now, that's huge, because Tina and Tara have gone back and forth plenty of times where they've said, like, hey, Ty's the bigger threat, Ty's the bigger threat, Ty's the bigger threat. Maybe Jed's the bigger threat. Maybe Jed's the bigger threat. Ah, now Ty's the bigger threat. Ah, maybe Jed's. They could go either way. So I think that, having people like Kiefer, who has an in with Tina and Tara, who can be like, I can work Ty. Jed is with Beth. I don't know if I can work Jed. That's going to be huge, I think, when it comes to who is going to be targeted. So that's where I kind of feel like that's where it is. Emily in the chat said 100% Vic says Jed is hotter, aka she'll protect Jed more.
Very true.
And yes, the fact, and we've been kind of waiting for this, but the fact that Jed is now the closer one to Beth certainly does put a little bit more of a target, I think, on his back. But again, you know, once they're on the block, anything can change. And that's, I think, what I've been trying to stress for a while, which is that even if they do lean Jed now more, they could end up on the block and they could have this conversation where they go, you know what? Jed's a bigger target to stay in the game. Jed and Beth, the showmance, will remain a huge target and distraction for us. Maybe we should take out Ty, who would slip under the radar a little more if he stayed. So there are always going to be arguments back and forth. I don't think there's any way to tell for sure who's going to stay. Apart from the fact that I do think Jed tends to be a little more capable in the competitions, at least from what we've seen so far. So I'd put money more on him winning himself off the block than Ty. But even in that, you never really know. So
it's funny that Chad is like going back and forth between who's hotter, Ty or Jed. And the consensus seems to be that Ty is hotter. And I think they're both very handsome. Yeah. And so then it comes down to the personalities, and, you know, Ty's raspy voice and Ty is just a sweetheart. And, you know, Jed sometimes he doesn't have that softness that Ty has that can make you feel a little bit more comfortable. So it's all a matter of preference. They're both very handsome. So
yeah. We don't have to choose. Beth doesn't have to choose, so we don't have to choose.
Right.
Oh, all right. Anything else we should talk about here tonight? What do we think is going to happen? Who do we have predictions for? Who's going to win this HOH? Who's going to be on the block? Any predictions here, Jason?
I would love to see Ro win. Just, I think that's going to sow a lot more chaos into the house. Try and pick Ro back up from, you know, where he's been, which is on the bottom.
Yeah, that is the thing where it's like, I want to see the Jed versus Ty on the block, because I think that would be very interesting. And I'm very curious to see where it lands. I'd be very curious to see what it does to the house dynamic. But I also don't want, I like Jed and Ty. I don't want them necessarily to go on the block. I certainly wouldn't want to lose Ty. But I think that's kind of where I have to go. If we do just get to like, it's Ro versus Brayden on the block, Ro's going home next week, that's going to be kind of a lame duck of a week, I think.
So could you see a scenario where Jed and Ty get put on the block, next week, one of them wins veto and they try and convince people to put up Beth as the replacement nominee, and they try and throw Beth under the bus.
See, that would be interesting.
Goes for life.
Yeah, if Beth goes up, and now it's like Jed versus Beth, or even Ty versus Beth, And now, because I think Ty would definitely choose Jed, and then Jed would have to campaign against Beth. Or if it's Ty versus Beth, and I think there's definitely a chance that Jed might pick Beth over Ty. And that would be interesting. And I don't know if that would work, if it would do anything. If anything, that might just put a bigger target on Beth over Ty at that point. But still, I think there's a lot to be mined there. I feel like we've been really mining the oddballers, and there's nothing good left. It's time to start breaking apart the other side.
Where you see a Sunsetter Civil War?
Yes, exactly. but who knows? Who knows? I would say that the Sunsetters do have the numbers advantage. They have Ty, Jed, Beth, Kiefer, and Vic all competing. That's huge, especially because Kiefer and Vic have proven to be very good competitors, whereas on the other side, only Ro has won anything. And that's not great for the chances of the oddballer side. But you also have people like Kiefer and Ty and Jed and Beth all saying, like, I don't know if I need to win. They might not be competing as hard as they could be. But usually in those scenarios, like, your instincts kick in and you just compete. So I wouldn't rely on that personally. And so I would predict that we're going to get another Sunsetter HOH, and that we'll probably see Ro and, you know, either Brayden or Tara on the block.
Yeah, I think because we can never have nice things, we might end up with a Tara HOH, and then it's going to be almost comical to try to see her try to explain why she's putting both guys on the block when she's tried to talk herself out of it.
See, that's the only thing. The only person I don't want to put up Ty and Shed is Tara. I just don't want her to have that. I do think a Tara HOH would be entertaining in how messy it is. I will give it that, but I'd rather it be like, I'd rather somebody else do the Ty and Jed noms. She can mess up a different one. And you know, right. I just don't want her to have the satisfaction of like, I've taken down these boys. Like, they're seeing my fire.
Right.
Would she be able to resist the temptation of putting them both up, knowing that she's been talked to? You think she'd get and be like, maybe I can't put them up? Or do you think it would get to her and be like, I gotta put them up?
I don't even know for sure that she has been talked to, is the thing. And as I've talked about, like, you know, those things in terms of game motivations, they don't tend to last very long. So I think she would just put them up.
Yeah.
All right. So, well,
we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, I'm hoping for a good week. I don't want whoever to win, and then we just know that, like, Ro and Brayden are going up. Like, that's what I don't want to happen. So whoever can win where that's not the nominees, then I'll be happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about what we have for you tonight, talking about this Wednesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 9. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. Plenty to talk about. We got into some of it here in the spoiler section, but there's plenty more to talk about tomorrow morning, about the direction that things are heading, conversations that were happening. So make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow night, we'll be live after the episode to recap what goes down on the eviction and maybe have a new HOH. Maybe we'll see. Might be able to talk about it. But Thursday nights are always fun, so make sure you tune in then. I will also, of course, be on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong in the day to talk about stock watch picks. And then also during the episode with the watch party. So make sure you tune in there as well. And then Saturday, we've got another Circle UK podcast coming your way. Make sure you check that out as well. And that's what I got for you. Asia, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. So that's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. I'll be, you know, on here talking about Big Brother Canada from time to time. And then I'm also hosting a Married at First Sight wrap up. So with Amy, every other week, we talk about what's happening on Married at First Sight. Jason, I know you watch. It's a crazy season. Yeah. It's been an emotional roller coaster, to say the least. But yeah, this week we actually have on Mari. So that'll be really fun. So we're going to break down everything that's happened on last week's episode and this week's episode. And yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, definitely check it out if you've never seen a show like that.
All right. And Jason, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at JAYR1085. Actually, this weekend, you can find me on Robin If You Need a Podcast talking about TV spinoffs.
Nice.
There you go. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. Thank you to the audience for hanging out with us. And thank you to Big Brother Canada for the competitions. Not for the editing, but for the competitions. Thank you. And yes, we'll see you all next time.